Hey there, and welcome to Busy Kids Love Music, a podcast for music-loving families. I'm Carly Seifert, the creator of Busy Kids Do Piano, and I'm so excited about today's episode. About a year ago, I took my daughter and her friend to Nashville for a girls' trip for a few days, and one of the highlights was when we attended a performance at a place called the Listening Room Cafe. It was unlike a typical live performance where there's a concert type event. There were four singer-songwriters on the stage. One artist had her keyboard and three other artists had their guitars, and they took turns telling stories about songs they had written, and then they would perform those songs. And some were songs that were brand new to me, and some were songs that I'd heard sung by artists such as Harry Connick Jr. or George Strait. So it was this peek into a world that I knew next to nothing about, and I found it fascinating and so incredible. And it gave me such an appreciation for what goes into a song that I hear on the radio and that I love. Tori Touye was one of the artists from that night in the listening room. And I was immediately drawn to her because, well, she was one of the four songwriters that had a piano. And she also sang this beautiful song called Songbird that both my daughter and I were just really taken with. So when visiting Nashville a year later with my family, I decided to reach out to Tori to see if she would be willing to sit down with me for a little while and just talk about what it looks like to have a career in songwriting. And she was so warm and kind and interesting, and I am super excited to share our interview with you for today's episode. Fly, songbird, try a little longer. The sky's getting calmer, so fly. All right, I am here coming to you from Nashville with singer-songwriter Tori Touye. I said that right.
You totally said
okay,
it right.
Perfect.
You nailed it.
I should have done that before we started recording, but.
No, it's perfect.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me. Tori Touye is a singer and songwriter in Nashville, so I just wanted to ask her some questions about being a working professional in the music industry, and she was so gracious when I reached out and asked if she'd be willing to sit down with me. So do you mind just introducing yourself and telling your family some basics about your work and career?
Hi, everybody. My name is Tori, and I've been in Nashville about 10 years. I'm from Annapolis, Maryland, originally, and grew up taking piano lessons. I started when I was around 10 and just loved music and started writing music and knew that was what I wanted to do. So I went to school in Miami, Florida, and then moved up to Nashville right after then and just immersed myself in the community, started writing and playing out. And so now it's about 10 years later and still doing it.
Okay. Well, that was going to be my next question is when, because a lot of our listeners are kids who are taking music lessons right now. So you started with piano.
I did. Yeah. Okay. It was instrumental for me in like the start of everything, really. Because when I tried taking piano lessons, I think when I was around 5 or 6, like pretty young. And I hated it.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
I just had a teacher that it was like very, I guess, by the book, you know, like just your traditional kind of learning environment. And I don't know. It just wasn't, I didn't love it. I didn't want to do it. Maybe I was just too young. I don't know. But when I was around 9 or 10, for whatever reason, I just was like, Mom, Dad, like, I really want to try piano again. I just, something about it. I wanted to pick it up. And so we found a local teacher named Miss Nina Kozin. She's no longer with us, unfortunately, but she was from Russia and had a redhead, had a lot of passion and picked really just musically inspiring pieces, even though they were really, really simple. And so it was just music that I loved playing. I wanted to practice. It wasn't like, my parents had to force me to do it. And that was, that really got the ball rolling for everything, because I feel like it was the first time I felt music while I was playing it and could like translate the emotion out. And so I just kept that up and then started kind of just improvising and writing instrumental stuff on the piano. And then a couple years after that, just decided, well, I can sing too. Like, why not put that together with some of my middle school diaries or whatever?
I love it.
You know, all the emotions you have when you're in middle school. So, I mean, I'm so thankful to her, because she was the one that just kickstarted it for me. And I think it's, you know, I'm sure you know, but it's like a great teacher can have just such an amazing impact on your life.
Thing for people to hear too, that like your first one isn't, if it doesn't work out with the first one, that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, we failed. Mm-hmm. It's done. You can go on and it, find someone that's...
Yeah, because there's so many different styles. And, you know, the first lady that we went to, I think she was just kind of someone that the school knew and recommended. And, you know, it, and maybe that was great for a lot of people, but we kind of, we had to find someone just a little,
outside the box.
Outside the box. And, you know, she just picked some great music that I loved. And like, you know, many years down the line did like Chopin and Rachmaninoff and people like that, that just were like these really intense composers, I feel like, with a lot of feeling. And so, I'm so glad I went back, you know, and got to try it again and find someone that fit. So
Then did you ever take formal singing lessons, or it was just something that was...
I took some formal singing lessons. I did take some voice lessons, and it was with a teacher who she was classically trained and operatic, and I was trying to sing pop music and, you know, sometimes show tunes. And I feel like, I feel like I picked up a lot of good basic things from her, just on like breath support and things like that. But stylistically, I feel like I could have found someone that maybe fostered like the pop rock singing a bit more. And this was all, I mean, I'm sure those teachers existed, but, you know, in a smallish city in Maryland, you know, a lot, you know, 15 years ago or something like that, maybe it was harder to find someone that did different, you know, something different. But
So then you said you went to Miami to study. Mm-hmm. Is that when you're like, okay, I'm gonna pursue this as a career?
I knew I wanted to do something with music. And when I was in high school, I had a band and I was writing songs, because in my head, you know, if I write a song, I have to sing it. I didn't know about this whole other world where you could pitch it to someone else to sing it and all this stuff. So my parents definitely wanted me to get a degree. They were like, they've always been very supportive. We love that you do music, but, you know, let's get a degree. So you're a college grad and you've got that. So I was looking at a bunch of different music schools, and I had had a cousin that went to the University of Miami in Coral Gables for their jazz school, which is a fantastic jazz school. And so we knew about it and went and toured, and it was, I mean, it's a gorgeous campus, you know, it's totally different than Maryland and anything East Coast. It's tropical and warm and vibrant and cultural. So when I got in, it was kind of a no-brainer, and it was such a great place for me to kind of figure myself out. I had, you know, fantastic teachers. We got a brand new Dean Shelleyberg, that was my first year as a freshman. So it was just a really amazing experience, and I feel like it let me kind of grow and find, you know, what I wanted to do and try different styles. You know, we had to write all kinds of different stuff. I mean, we had to write like a woodwind quintet and then write a pop song. And then, so it was a big...
Wow. So you had to write like instrumental parts. not
which was not my forte. Okay. I'm like, I got in on writing like pop piano songs. I don't know how to do this. And I was definitely behind the eight ball for like the first couple years, just figuring out, you know, you know, killing myself trying to study and figure all that stuff out. But it was really great for me. And then when it was almost time to graduate, I did a couple different internships. I did one internship in New York for a record label. And then the next summer I did another internship in Nashville for a record label. And I kind of just discovered the whole songwriting world down here and got hooked. So, okay. Yeah.
Can you tell us about what that process is? Like you mentioned pitching a song to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I first learned about you, was at the listening room and listening to mm-hmm. different songwriters talk about that. So it was like this whole new world to me. Like I didn't know. I mean, someone there was like, oh, this song was sung by Harry Connick Jr. or George Strait, mm-hmm. you know? So I was like, oh, it never occurred to me that there's this whole other world of songwriters getting, mm-hmm. who have all this talent that are presenting.
Yeah. And that's kind of the magic of Nashville that I, like I said, I didn't know that it existed. And then mm-hmm. when I came here, you know, found like Music Row, like 16th and 17th Avenue, had all these little houses that are publishing companies, and people, you know, walk in and 4 hours later walk out with the song, and that's their job.
And so they walk in and compose it there?
Yeah, write it.
Oh, wow, okay.
Finish it, you know, in 4, 5, sometimes 3 hours. And
so when you go in there, do you know what you're going to write?
Sometimes.
Can you talk about that process?
Sometimes. I would say a lot these days is writing with an artist. So it'll be with an artist and either, you know, writer like myself, or sometimes a writer producer. And so if it's a three-way and we know we're walking into a write with, you know, a female artist, Poppy, you know, she'll come in and say, oh, I'm working on this project and I've got enough breakup songs. I've got enough slow songs. I actually really need like an up-tempo, summery, fun song. And then that will give us a roadmap. And then we can kind of start with a title normally or a musical vibe and then sort of go from there. But then sometimes if it's a writer session, like I had a write with Jay Knowles, who I think was the other writer at the listening room that night.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's an artist as well, but we're both, you know, writing for pitch a lot of the time. So like when the two of us get together, it's helpful to maybe have a pitch sheet or something that says, oh, Luke Bryan's looking, Carrie Underwood's looking, Carly Pierce is looking, you know, okay, well, let's try and come up with some ideas for that and, you know, go from there. So,
okay. So the artists know who to sort of get in touch with when they're looking for
mm-hmm.
a song idea.
Yeah.
And then
there's kind of a collective, I mean, and it's a lot of it's through the different publishing companies, but people, you know, the tip sheet or kind of like the knowledge of like who's looking, when they're recording, all that stuff can be found out, you know, and if you're with a company, they'll want to give it to you because they want their writers to succeed and, get placement. Okay. So, you know, that's what you try and do, but
so fascinating.
But sometimes, you know, sometimes it's very specific. Sometimes they'll say, you know, up-tempo, positive, you know, not love, life song, sounds like X. And then other times just we want to hit.
Okay.
So it's like, okay. Like
you're trying to write for the top 40.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, a hit means so many different things. Uh-huh. So in that case, you just kind of try your best and hope that you strike something that day. But
so do you have any projects that you are the most proud of? You're like, oh, that's, I knocked it out of the park on that one.
Yeah, I was involved in a really cool project lately with an artist that I work with a lot named Stephanie Quayle, and she's from Montana. She's a fantastic.
Where? I'm from.
Is that where you're from?
Oh, yes. Okay. I live in Atlanta now, but yeah, but I used to live in Montana.
Okay. So. I thought I saw your area code and I was like, I think she might be from Montana. But yeah. Stephanie, she's a fantastic country artist. She's from, I think, originally Bozeman, but
that's
now
where I've lived.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She lives, I think, like an hour and a half outside of Bozeman. I'm going to forget the name of the town.
That's okay.
On the way to Yellowstone, somewhere down that way. But her and I are really close, and she is kind of this like firecracker personality, blonde, almost Dolly-esque, like cheerful, you know, just a, such a fun girl. And she's put out the music she's put out, I would say, has matched that, you know, just very upbeat, like, you know, digestible, sing-songy. And she, I didn't know this, but had been through kind of a crazy experience about, I think, 12 years ago at this point, that she had never written about. And the long story short was she was in a relationship with a man for about 4 years when she was living in California, and he had a daughter. She was taking care of his daughter. They were building a life together, and he passed away in a plane crash. Mm. And then in the midst of the grief and planning the funeral and all of this, she found out that she was not the only woman in his life.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of this big, painful secret that she never really shared. And when his daughter, who's, I believe, 21 or 20 now, she's started painting to kind of get through some of her grief. And that kind of gave Stephanie the window to start processing it on her own, and she felt like, okay, now finally I have this outlet. And so she called me and said, do you want to go to Montana for a week and write about this?
Oh, nice.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like incredibly honored that she would trust me with that story. And, you know, also a little scared, because I'm like, this is a lot of heavy stuff that she's going to be unpacking, and, you know, you want to get to like the meat of the emotional stuff, but also make sure that she's okay in the process.
Yeah,
and, but we went out to her ranch in Montana, and we wrote a whole album in like 5 days. And so it's just me and her on the record, all the songs on the record. And so she put that out in November. And
okay, what's the name of the record?
It's called On the Edge.
On the Edge, okay.
And we got to play the songs at the Grand Ole Opry, which is incredible.
Oh, wow.
And she's done a short film of the song. I mean, it's just a really, I've never been a part of something like start to finish involved in so much of it as a writer. So that's been just a really beautiful piece of work to be a part of.
Yeah. And so layered, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's been a really special one. And yeah, I write with a lot of female artists, which I love. And I, you know, there's so many projects that I've been on that just, I'm super grateful to be there.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Special. Mm-hmm. Do you have projects that you're currently working on that you'd want to share? Or?
Always writing for different things. I've got some, I believe I've got a song coming out with Brittany Kennel, who's a fantastic Canadian country artist. And I think that's going to be on her record. Some with an artist named Emma White, who's a country artist that lives in Nashville, who's from Maryland, like me.
Oh gosh,
so
okay.
I'm excited for those two. And then, you know, hopefully just pitching things and hoping that something drops from the sky.
Okay. Yeah. No, and so, I wanted to ask you about that. Just like your daily life, like what a day in your life looks like when you're a working songwriter.
Yeah. I would say wake up hopefully early. Have some coffee, and then I try and write about 4 or 5 days a week. So for me, my best days are when I can really take some time in the morning or the night before or the week before, and just really like prepare for who I'm writing with, and, you know, listen to their music if they're an artist and they've got something out, or if they're a writer, listen to things that they've gotten recorded. Try and really walk in with, you know, three titles that I feel strongly about or three ideas. So I'm just, you know, it feels horrible when you walk in and you just have nothing and you wing it. And I try never to have to do that.
Okay.
So work on the ideas in the morning. Normally the write starts at 10:30 or 11, and, you know, you're either in a publishing house or someone's studio, and getting to know people can sometimes be half an hour or sometimes an hour. And then hopefully once we get on something, we're writing till 3:30, 4. I mean, sometimes longer, but I feel like people in Nashville normally wrap up around like 4:30 or 5 at the latest. And yeah, then you walk out with a song and,
wow,
you know.
It seems like it happens really fast, but does it feel like that, since you're there from like the start to finish, does mm-hmm. it feel fast or no?
I would say it depends on the energy in the room. Okay. Because some days it's everyone's on the same page and ideas are flying back and forth and it's fun, we're laughing, it's easy, boom, song done. Wow, how did that happen? Other days, and it's not necessarily that you don't vibe with the people, like if you're just writing a harder song to write, it can be really, you know, even though you're only in there for 4 hours, it feels like you were in there for 8 because you've just been like bashing your head against the wall trying to figure out, oh, how do we hook this the perfect way, or is that really the best way to do that, or what about this? And it's like that can be really draining sometimes.
Okay. So what would you say is the biggest, or I shouldn't say the biggest, what are some of the biggest challenges that you face within your career?
I would say I think any career in the arts, it's very unpredictable. Mm-hmm. It's up and down, and riding the high and then the next morning, you know, getting canceled on, and, you know, with an artist you've been trying to get in with for 3 months. And, you know, so it's trying to be appreciative of the journey and where it takes you on its own timeline, because, you know, you can't ever say, I want to be here by this time and it's going to line up perfectly. Mm. That's not how it goes. So I think for me, it's really just been the patience of it all and trusting that, you know, I am where I'm supposed to be. And, but also being, you know, honest with yourself and saying like, oh, you know, we can work harder in this area. We can try and grind on this a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of my friends are in music and we kind of have to like huddle with it, have that huddle and support sometimes, because it'll take you really high and then it'll just really knock you down. And, you know, having the support of other people around you and friends makes it easier. And that's why I think it's so important to have a community of people that you trust and can lift you up and, you know, but also lend a hand when things are, you know, going pretty rough. So yeah, it's definitely not for the faint of heart, but you do what you love, you know?
Yeah.
So
do you have any advice for maybe anyone, any kids who are listening that are like, oh, I want to go into the music industry, or specific to,
yeah,
to songwriting, or just the music industry in general?
Yeah. I would say, I mean, always go for it and always do what you love. And I think the biggest lesson that I've learned is maybe just finding who you are and your sound and sticking to it. And, you know, I think it's easy to get lost in cities like Nashville or New York or LA, like any of those kind of big industry towns, it's easy to get pulled in a lot of different directions. And I think for me, like when I first moved here, I was kind of a malleable person. I listened to a lot of different opinions and, you know, tried to please a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of along the way, I lost sight of that, you know, what's my own compass? What do I think? What, you know, what artists do I want to work with? What do I think is cool? And I think everyone's different, you know. If someone's got like a massive ego and they don't want to listen to anyone, then maybe not do that. But, you know, I think for a lot of people, it's like finding your voice and staying true to that is important. So.
Okay. And how did you find, you talk about your community mm-hmm. and how important that's been. How did you find your community? Because Nashville seems like such a big city. I equate it, like I went to school in California and mm-hmm. I remember when I would be in Los Angeles, it was like everyone was involved in the movie industry. Mm-hmm. Your waiter was involved in the movie yeah. industry. The people that were around you were involved in the movie industry. You'd hear them talking. And I feel like that when I'm in Nashville, like I'm yeah. overhearing conversations about, you know, someone who was trying to play guitar for John Mayer, or, mm-hmm. you know, just all these different, it seems like everyone...
Yeah.
So how do you, you know, it's noisy is what I'm saying. So yes. How do you find your people in your community?
I think it's big, but it's funny because then it also feels really small
really?
Sometimes, you know. And I think for me, it was just finding people who I loved collaborating with, you know. I mean, I think that's the fun thing about our job is, you know, we get to sit in rooms with different people Monday through Friday. And a lot of the times they become your friends, you know? And so it just kind of built from that. And I feel like it definitely took me a bit to kind of find my like super tribe. Like I feel like I've got so many like wonderful girlfriends now that we're all singer-songwriters and we can all kind of like draw on each other, mm-hmm. have a wine night and talk about, you know, all the different things. And really that was just like, just finding the people that I loved writing with. And then it's someone being like, oh, I love what you do. You would actually work really well with this person. And like, it just kind of snowballs. Kind of, okay. But, and it's also, I think just being here a long time, you know, mm-hmm. been here like over a decade. And so hopefully you find,
yes,
after a while,
you know people.
Yeah. Just like by osmosis, it's like you start to just put the pieces together.
And yeah.
So, but it is funny though. I have so many friends that went to Berkeley, like that all knew each other when they were at Berkeley. And now I feel like I'm in that group and I'm like, well, dang, if I had gone to Berkeley, like, we would have all have been friends for years and years. So it's just uh-huh. funny who you like connect with.
And you've started writing for yourself now mm-hmm. more and performing yeah. your own songs. What sort of made you want to make that transition? Or it yeah. sounds like you're still doing a lot of both.
Yes. But. Yes. I would say, you know, it's sort of a full circle thing for me, because when I started, I was very much, that's all I did was write for myself, you know, because okay. I thought I had to be the one singing it. So that's why I had a band, you know, in high school. I'm talking way, way back. So that was always what I did. And then once I figured out, you know, oh, there's this whole town of writers, just writers, I was like, oh, that's really what I want to do. And kind of like I said before, I think I got sort of just lost in that mix for a while. And it kind of took me a while to figure out what was it that I loved, or kind of rediscover the voice that I had. And I always wrote by myself the whole time, but when COVID hit, I didn't have a roommate. I wasn't dating mm-hmm. anyone. I mean, mm-hmm. I was literally alone in my house for a long time. And it was, I mean, there's a reason why solitary confinement is really difficult on people, because we are just not meant to be by ourselves. And that was a really, really tough time. But in that time, like, I wrote a ton and I ended up writing this EP, this project for myself. And I kind of, all of a sudden, I feel like I had these six songs that were different than my kind of country pitching stuff. And I kind of had to have a moment where I was like, well, I can just sit on these and they'll probably live in, on a computer somewhere where no one will ever hear them, or I can do something about it and record it. And thankfully, one of my best friends is a wonderful producer, writer named Justin Klump, and he kind of encouraged me to really go for it. And, you know, he's got this great little tiny house studio that he calls the Woodshed. And we just kind of holed up for like 2 weeks and made this project together. And it was so much fun, so creatively exciting for me. And I just really, I loved the whole process. I loved what we got. And to me, it got me to a point where I was like, I love it so much. I don't care if anyone else likes it. Like if people, you know, if it's cool or not cool or whatever, which I think is a really good place to be with music and art. Like you just, it's got to feel good to you first before, you know, you can't put it out like hoping for a reaction or hope having expectations that it's going to do something. So that really was kind of the return of, you know, me pursuing an artist career and playing more shows and, you know, just diving back into that. And it's been really wonderful. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's definitely something that I'm, that's another asset of who I am. Like I've, of course, will keep writing and working on, you know, writing the pitchable songs and writing with artists. Like I will always keep that up, but this is just another way to kind of showcase some things that may not be totally down the middle country that could kind of live on the other side.
So where can our listeners go to follow your work and just learn more about you, listen to some of your songs that you've performed?
Yeah, I am on all the social media things. So I think most everything is just my name, Tori Touye, but on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and then my website is www.toritouye.com. And that's got shows on it, any news that's going on. So,
okay. Yeah. And I'll put links to all those in this episode's show notes too. So you can check that out on the podcast website and go listen to some music.
Well, so
thank you so much for being here.
Yeah,
this has been wonderful for our listeners, and
I'm glad
learning so much about what it means to have a career in music, because sometimes that can seem like this really unattainable thing. So it's nice to just hear like, oh, here's someone working in the industry. This is what it looks like.
And it started with piano lessons.
Hey, and I loved it as a piano teacher. I love to hear that.
Yep.
Well, thanks, Tori.
Oh, thank you.
And there you have it. Thank you so much to Tori Touye for taking her time to share her talents and experiences with us in such an honest way. And I hope you enjoyed learning about her career as much as I did, and that you gained appreciation for this important field in the music industry. Be sure to check out more of her beautiful music at toritouye.com, and you spell her last name T-U-L-L-I-E-R. And I'm going to pop links to her website and socials in this episode's show notes at busykidsdopiano.com/podcast/93. Thank you so much for joining me today here at Busy Kids Love Music, and I look forward to connecting with you again in 2 weeks. Bye for now. Let the world